Please take your seats. All right. We're back in session, and we are we're all the way to the county attorney's report. Jonathan Wood.
Sure. I did want to explain my seemingly incoherent but probably correct answer to your earlier question. As you know, we have rules on resolutions, and the resolutions have to be in writing and they have to be introduced in advance or you need two-thirds, et cetera. So the issue is when something is a resolution as opposed to just a motion. And what I was saying, well, if it's just to do a simple letter, say, we are concerned about that, it probably could be just a motion. But I looked up in Roberts just so to explain the difference between a resolution and a motion, which I was trying to say. A resolution is a simple matter. I mean, a motion is on a simple matter, but it's a resolution is a more important or complex matter. Now, that obviously leaves some. Right, exactly. It's not important. So what I was trying to say is so long as it was kept really simple, it's probably okay to do. But if it's not, then it has to follow the procedures for a resolution. And I did not say that very coherently, but that's what I meant.
Okay, good.
And you can all determine what this is based on your conversation. That's pretty much it. I did want to say one thing about Carol was reporting on brine, and I don't really know a whole lot about brine, but I do know that it was addressed in the SGIS on the fracking, and I can tell you what it says, and I can't tell you that that is what actually happens. But what it says in the SGIS is that, as you may know, one requires a permit to road spread brine, and that DEC was not giving out permits to road spread waste brine. Okay, waste brine from fracking is just one of many types of brine. Most other brines are called industrial or processing brines, so they do give permits for that, but at least as they report in the SGIS, they do not give permits for waste brine from fracking. Now, if that's what's actually happening and stuff, I don't know, but it is addressed in the SGIS, and that is what it says.
Okay. Carol?
Can I ask a question about that?
Sure.
Is the state DOT subject to the same jurisdiction of the DEC?
Well, that's a good question. I think the answer is yes. I think they need a permit to dispose of brine as well, but that's an interesting question. I could look into that.
That would be good. Thanks. I would appreciate it because those are the trucks that we've seen are state highway trucks, and it isn't clear to us whether they're subject to the same jurisdiction or
right.
whether they
but,
would
but,
be subject
but,
to our jurisdiction.
Right.
But should
but
we
I,
do anything?
I would say that I it would be very doubtful that New York State trucks would be carrying fracking brine. I mean, they may be carrying brine from other processes, but because it's not done in New York State now, it's unlikely that they'd be carrying fracking brine.
Julie?
I can't remember whether I mentioned this several meetings ago or not, but Martha Ferger, who chairs the EMC's fracking committee, had contacted DEC about the brine issue probably a couple of months ago and was told that DEC does not issue permits for use of fracking brine. So the EMC thought it was not necessary to pursue it, although I'm not saying that people shouldn't pay attention to trucks the way Carol's asking, but we felt reassured by what DEC had said.
I wonder whether this is a practice that has been going on a long time. Kathy Arnold from the Cortland County Legislature looked into this last year and learned that water that comes out of the salt caverns, it's brine, but it's just from salt formations, has been used. I wonder whether New York State's been using brine on the roads for a long time, and nobody's really paid much attention. Now suddenly, bells go off, and people are thinking of fracking fluid. But it may not be anything
right.
more serious. But it's important to find out.
Yeah, but they certainly do give permits for other types of brine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think some of the concern is that in order to get rid of this material, at least in Pennsylvania, the report is that they're undercutting the price of whatever brine used to be purchased. So, if they're trying to get rid of material, is that going to spill over across the New York State border? And would we know it? If you're going and purchasing some liquid brine, do you really know what the source of it is? So, actually, Jeff Smith is tracking down the particular brine from these trucks that were seen the other day.
Okay. Thank you very much, Jonathan, for explaining all those things. And I actually, part of my confusion was I'm looking under our agenda, and I don't see it say new business anywhere. So I don't know. That's kind of why I said unfinished business.
Well, I think resolutions, it says resolutions to be added, or on the...
So the issue of if somebody, so Dooley, if this is, let's say, a GO committee issue, if you wanted to make a motion, I guess that's how we could discuss it if you'd like, and about the filibuster, if we want to do anything about it tonight. Am I right? Am I missing anything? Doesn't it say new business?
Yeah, no. In our rules, what it actually says, to be technical, not on our agenda, but in our rules, there's number 13 in the agenda is individual member filed. It says resolutions.
Okay.
But one might think that it could be a motion to, reading it somewhat liberally, but
okay.
It would still have to.
Okay, so Dooley, pick your poison. If you want to raise your hand, or anybody else wants to make a motion. Those are a couple places. All right. Thanks very much, Jonathan. David Squires, Finance Director.
Well, this is the busy time of year for our office. January the 11th is the final date to pay for properties that are exposed to foreclosure, so that means the next week will be pretty hectic, people calling and panicking about paying off their taxes. I want to caution you that... we have one more sales tax payment to be received for the year, and looking at we got to get three payments in the month for the month of December, and so we know there's one payment left. And last year there was an extraordinary bump in that last payment of the year of almost $500,000, and so my belief is that probably is not going to reoccur. So looking at that historically. We're probably going to be okay in sales tax this year. We'll meet the budget estimate, but I'm not expecting that we will have a large amount of excess sales tax to address other unanticipated problems within the budget, because I don't think that windfall we got last year is going to reoccur. And one of the big activities we'll be dealing with in the next couple of is payroll, making all these adjustments because we, the fiscal cliff adjustments with the FICA having to be bumped back up. New pay rates for employees, the contracts start January 1, so most employees will be getting a 2% pay increase in 2013. And then racing to try to accommodate the arbitration award. So that's my report.
Thank you, David. Any questions? Thanks very much. Are there any resolutions to be added to or withdrawn from the agenda? All right. Peter?
Yeah, I want to add this thing that the resolution that I'm going to propose.
What?
Is that on the agenda? Or?
The member filed about the gun ballot. That's on the agenda.
Thank you. Sorry.
Yes. Okay. All right, workforce diversity and inclusion. Oh, I'm sorry, I do have a consent agenda one item. You're moving the consent agenda? Let me read the title.
I just wanted to be first.
All right. Resolution A, ID 3900, delegation of authority to authorize certain tax refunds and credits of $2,500 and under. Kathy Luz Herrera, seconded by Leslin. That's it for the consent agenda. All in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That's unanimous. All right. Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee, Leslin McBean-Claiborne, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. WDIC did not meet since our last legislature meeting at which I reported. We will be meeting on January 23rd.
Okay. Thank you very much. Health and Human Services Committee, Frank Proto, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Health Committee is scheduled to meet next Tuesday, the 8th, and there is an exceptionally light agenda. There were two budget adjustments. No other department had anything else that needed addressing. So at this point, committee, please stay tuned. We're probably going to postpone that meeting and just have it just before, have the two items come before us just before the next legislative meeting so that we don't have to have a health committee meeting next week. So your wood smoke report tonight will probably be it for now.
Sure, or whenever you want to put on the agenda. Okay.
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 Thank you.
Thank you. Questions? Yeah, Leslin?
It's not a question, Martha. I realize I meant to reiterate on the WDIC what Joe talked about in terms of race, the power of an illusion, and to really encourage people to take a look at that and respond. It is an amazing series, and we really would like for the county to be a partner in promoting this throughout the county, similar to how we do the book reads that the library promotes or the reading partnership does. We really like for this to be something the entire county, not just county government, but all the residents participating. So I'm looking forward, I'll be talking with Joe about how we as a county can be a partner in this initiative.
Thanks very much, Leslin. Okay, HHS is done. Facilities and Infrastructure Committee, Carol Chalk, Chair.
We will be meeting tomorrow morning, 9:45 till 12:15. In addition to the topic of brine trucks, which we'll deal with there and hear from more from Jeff, we will be looking at long last. We'd asked our staff to look at and give us information about the pros and cons of project labor agreements. So those of you who've looked for that, I'm hoping to give you a good report, but you certainly are welcome to come and hear that discussion.
Who's going to do that? Who's going to lead that?
Well, Jonathan and Joe have been looking at this.
Are you going to have anybody from the labor unions?
At this point, we are hearing from our staff and deciding how to proceed.
Okay.
If it gets to that stage, I think that is definitely a direction we would go. What else? And then we will also be, in addition to the quarterly status report on the various highway projects, we're doing something new, which is looking in advance at the draft list of the county's suggested federal aid projects to go to the MPO. That's for both highway, pavement, and bridge projects. So if you have an interest in that, in looking at the places that our staff is thinking are the most important sections, please look at the agenda, get back to me before 9:45 in the morning or come to the meeting. Thanks.
Right. Everybody, it's Thursday already. I mean, when you say our meeting is tomorrow, like,
oh,
Friday.
Right.
Tomorrow is
Friday.
Okay. Any questions for Carol? Thank you. Capital Plan Review Committee, Mike Lane, Chair.
Yes, we met on the 19th of December, and mostly we reviewed the various projects that are happening. You heard Joe Mariana report on the Human Services Annex, the COFA building, and that is on track. There was a series of photographs that have been passed around. I hope everyone had a chance to look at those. Anybody not have a chance to look at them? They show construction nearing completion, and I think it's further along even now. The legislature relocation, which is the old courthouse, went to bid, and the bids came back. And I'm going to let Joe talk a little bit more about them, if he would. I would just say that we had one very unusually low bid, and the other we had others more grouped. And so that always sets up a red flag when you have something like that happen as to whether there are errors in the bidding. So, Joe, do you want to talk about those and where we are?
Sure. Mike described it well. The GC low bidder was way low compared to the others that bid on that part of the contract. As I recall, the lowest bidder was in the high $100,000 range. Competitors were either in the high $200,000 or low $300,000 range. That's how far apart they were. That clearly raised some red flags. It is being pursued by the architects. I don't know how much of this I can get into, but the low bidder did indicate that he'd made a significant error in putting together his estimate. So Graham and to the extent that he can, Arell are looking at the bids right now. It looks as if, even if we go to the next lowest bidder for that element of the contract, it looks as if the base project can fit within budget. And whenever I say something like this, the next day it turns out that there are costs that are added and it doesn't happen. But the way we're looking at it right now, we should be able to sneak right underneath the budget number for the base items, which means that none of the add alternates could be provided. But we will have all that done very shortly for you, bring it to capital plan review, and then over to the legislature. So I think within the next week or two, we'll be able to bring all that to closure.
The other thing having to do with the legislature relocation and COPA, of course, is the freeing up space here. Nothing is proceeding yet on the legislature chambers here, but downstairs where COPA is, those offices will be freed up, and our director of facilities around Lamaro has been talking with the Office of Court Administration about the usage of those offices, which are on both sides of the hallway in the basement, as you, I'm sure, are aware. And it's looking like the Office of Court Administration will help us with the cost of reconfiguring some of the offices on one side of the hallway, but we are questioning whether they will help us with the ones on the other side of the hallway. So those discussions are still underway. We haven't had the report back from Arell yet, but could be looking at more money to reconfigure down there for the court administration. Remember that the family treatment court is going to be taking over some of that space. And the question is whether or not we have to pay all the cost of that because it's our program. We talked about the public safety building, eventual project that we have to be thinking about, capital project for doing some modifications up there and how that might proceed. And we also talked about dusting off the idea of putting a possible addition on the human services building for the day treatment court, or move some space to free up in there for the day treatment court, not court, day treatment center. And stay tuned on that one. No decisions are being made, but we'll take a look at that again. That's pretty much what we did.
Thanks very much. Mike and Joe, any questions? Okay. Government Operations Committee, Dooley
well,
Kiefer.
I had a question. When is there a meeting scheduled?
I've got it penciled in for our regular meeting date in January, but we haven't got a meeting. I asked Joe, and Joe is going to check with the architects whether they needed a special meeting on the old courthouse bids, but I haven't heard back yet.
The regular meeting would be, if it were the same schedule, that'd be the 16th?
I think so.
Okay. I think it's, you know, it's been good to carry through the previous year's schedule. So let's write that down, 3:30 to 16 for CPR. All right. Thanks very much, Mike. Dooley, Government Operations.
Well, if we're following the existing schedule, government operations will meet a week from tomorrow, Friday a week, on the 11th. The agenda, there are a couple of resolutions. I'd like to go right to that and move Resolution B, ID 3899, establishing meeting dates for 2013. There's a revised version. You'll see that the September date has been corrected.
Move by Dooley. Second by Pam. Discussion? Everybody got the revised?
This vote will not include the dates under note on the bottom. That's more for your information. Mm-hmm. We hope that those will get set early during the year, but that's not part of this vote.
Okay. Questions? Mike and then Carol?
I just want to say thanks to our public information staff, particularly Jim Blizzard, for bringing to our attention a slight adjustment of not only tonight's meeting, but our meeting in November to Thursday will eliminate some of the conflicts we have on the broadcast.
Thank you, Mike. Carol?
My question got answered. Thanks.
Okay.
Although that reminds me that during the break I got a phone call that said, what happened? Your meeting was going along and then suddenly it got cut into and there was Martha chairing a meeting on fracking.
So one at the Unitarian Church, you mean?
That's right.
Yep. So that's funny.
But it cut back to us, and our chamber was empty. So,
okay.
So.
Okay. All right. So we're ready to vote on the resolution B. All in favor, please raise your hands.
Aye.
Any opposed? That's unanimous.
And resolution C. Setting ID 3830, setting salaries of members of the Tompkins County Legislature to be elected for the term commencing January 1st, 2014. This is the resolution that came out of GO, which calls for no increase. I move it.
Second by Pam.
I'd like to say a few things about this resolution. We had a fair amount of background material at GO, which showed how what we had tried to do 8 years ago and 4 years ago. And 4 years ago, we had decided 2 years of zero increases and then potential salary increases for the third and fourth years of the term, depending on the unemployment rate in Tompkins County. But it never got down to the magic 4% number, so the legislature had no raises for these 4 years. We also had information at GO about Alternatives Federal Credit Union, which figures what a livable wage is for someone in Tompkins County, and there's a number if you have health insurance, which is the one that would apply to us. And since the legislators work 30 hours a week, it would be possible to apply the livable wage figure for hourly wage with our 30 hours and come up with an annual wage. That did not get moved at GO. It was more of the information packet. And what I learned more recently was that there will be a new version of the livable wage out this spring, probably in March. It'll be made public. It's being worked on now. And with rent increases and food increases, what they are, it will be higher than what it is at present. So that's an alternative we could have considered or could still. We also had information on the Social Security COLA for 2013, which is 1.7%, and that would be a possible way to approach this topic. But I'm only introducing what came out of GO, and I wanted to share that extra information.
Thank you, Dooley. Mike.
When I originally brought these resolutions to government operations, I brought two resolutions. One was the one that was passed, and the second one is in the form of a substitute resolution in your packets. And I'd like to move the substitute, which would increase the level of legislative pay by 2%, the same amount for all 4 years. It'll be $19,075, which is a 2% increase, and it'll stay that same figure for each of the 4 years.
So that's moved. Second, Brian, are you seconding?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, seconded by Brian. Discussion.
I would be happy to accept that as friendly, but I don't know that I'm allowed to.
When you move that out of the committee, it's a significant change.
It's fine.
All right, Jonathan, is that...
I would say no, because it was passed by the committee.
Okay. All right, so the motion is to substitute the salary that adds $375 in one bump up and then flat for the rest of the 4 years. Frank, did you have your hand up?
Yes, I have... a comment, and then I'm going to try to substitute or add some additional wording. A couple of years ago, I tried to amend our salaries because we had asked our departments to take, as I recall, a 6% reduction, and it was reflected in the county budget. And I thought that it was appropriate that we as legislators also, as a department, if you will, it didn't affect the department itself, just our salaries, that we should participate in a reduction if we're asking our staff to do the same thing. I was told by Jonathan that it was inappropriate to bring such a thing midterm to a vote, because individuals had run for office with the idea that the salaries would be so much each year. So it didn't go anyplace. So what I'd like to do now is offer a resolve, and even if this resolution doesn't pass, I'm going to offer the same thing in the previous resolution, although I think you've accepted the whole thing as friendly, do we?
You
haven't?
Can't.
Okay. I would like to offer an additional resolve.
A point of procedure, I think we would have to vote on the substitute first before it could be amended, whether to substitute before it could be amended.
Is it not a second amendment that we could consider at the same time?
Yeah, I mean, right now, I'm not sure if that's intention, but right now it's a second amendment. Because what's on the floor is the amendment. So if you're amending, you're amending the amendment. So I'm not sure if that's your intention, but that's what you would be doing.
The substitute is called an amendment.
Right.
And that's the confusion. I think that's what Mike was asking about.
So I'd like to offer an amendment to the amendment. Is that permitted?
Right.
Yeah, it is permitted. I'm just saying that that's what you would be doing.
The wording that I'd like to add is perhaps where the second resolve would be, something to this effect. Resolved, from time to time, the legislature may opt to lower or reduce its own salary to reflect a similar reduction in the county budget affecting its departments and agencies. Doesn't mean we do it automatically, but we would reserve the right for us to participate in a reduction if we're asking everybody else to take a hit, that we could do it to ourselves.
Is there a second for that amendment to the amendment? That dies.
Yep, it's okay.
Second, or?
I'm happy to second it.
Okay.
Point of order?
Peter?
Jonathan, if we can't by ourselves, by resolution, reduce it, do we have the right to add a power to do something that we can't otherwise do? It seems not right to me somehow.
No, it was during the term that we couldn't do it. Now we're setting a salary for a new legislature, so the term hasn't begun. That's the way it was explained to me.
I can't recall. I did give a memo to GO on this, which I had actually done, I think, 8 years ago. But it hasn't changed. But when you set the salaries for elected officials, other than yourselves, it is impermissible to change them during the term. With regard to yourselves, you can change them during the term strictly, but there was much discussion that you wouldn't want to do that because people were running and making decisions based on that. So it's maybe not advisable, but with regard to yourselves, you can. With regard to other elected officials, you can't.
But is this the appropriate time, since we're setting, to set the stage to do that if we choose, because we're, the new term hasn't begun yet?
Yeah, you can do that, sure.
Yeah, you can do it.
Point of order?
Okay, yeah, it can.
It just seems to me that this is a very different kind of amendment than what Mike just made, so wouldn't a better time to do it be after we dealt with Mike's?
No, we take them in the order that they come. But
so
no,
that becomes an amendment? Is this an amendment to Mike?
We can vote to accept this into Mike's version or not to. And then if, let's say, we go back to the committee's version, let's say we don't take Mike's, we go back to the committee version. It sounds like Frank would make the same motion for the committee version. So I see a lot of hands, and I'm not sure I'm going to get them in order. But
so, yeah. So my point of order is for Frank to request that he withdraw that now and bring it back up when we finish dealing with it.
The point is, if we accept it, then that becomes part of the substitute that then we would vote up or down. So we can accept this and then vote this down, or we can reject this and vote this up, or a variety of things. So I'm interested to know that now what you're saying, Jonathan, is that midterm we can vote to reduce our own salaries, but we can't, and so this is a signal, essentially, that that's something that we might do.
Right.
Okay. I know I saw Brian a while ago, so, and then I'll, all right, and then I'll go back around. Brian?
This really feels to me like we're mixing apples and oranges with this. I understand that due to tough economic times, we may ask departments to lower their budgets, the overall department budget. I don't think there's ever been a case where we've taken money away from an hourly wage, other than I will admit that from time to time, department heads in meeting the budget target may reduce hours, but that's a determination that they make during the budget process. But to establish an hourly rate or a yearly wage and then just cut it based on, I mean, they're two different things, two very different things. And it, for anybody, let me just say this now, because I know there's going to be a lot of discussion on this, but this whole thing, whatever we decide, doesn't pertain to anybody in this room yet. You know, whether you run, whether you don't, whether you win, whether you lose, who knows? So I understand, you know, some of the moral statements and so on and so forth, but if we can deal with it in terms of, hey, you know, Mike's resolution is 2%. We're basically talking about 2% increase in that over 8 years is what it amounts to. And personally, if it's money that's motivating anybody to be here, a quarter of a percent a year is not a lot of money. And, you know, I don't know. But I did want to make the point that it really does not pertain to any one of us right now. It probably will at some point. But
I think that the main point was that budgets have been cut, but individual employees, workers, and hours might be cut, which reduces your salary, but you're not working as many hours. So nobody's hourly rate has been cut.
Right.
So, Pam, and then we're just going to go around because there's a lot.
That was what I was going to say.
Okay, so then Dooley, and we'll go around. Is it Jim and Will? Okay.
Miraculously, I have Jonathan Wood's memo with me tonight.
Good.
And he goes through what we can and can't do. But his fourth point is the board, that's us, would be well advised that any resolution setting board member salaries for four-year terms should include language that makes it clear that the salaries could be changed during the course of the term. And that was his final recommendation to us. And that's a simpler statement than what Frank read, and I would be happier to see that really simple language in the resolution.
Could you read it again, Dooley?
I guess it would be resolved further that the legislature recognizes that salaries can be changed by the legislature during the course of its term. That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
And that's all.
Okay, so that's okay with you, Frank?
Yeah.
And since
if you take me out of turn, I can make it real quick.
Yeah.
That's my whole point in suggesting this. And we've talked about fairness often, that if we're asking in the future, as we have in the past, if we're asking our departments to take a hit, that we reserve the right to take a hit ourselves.
No, Frank, I don't think, let's not complicate this.
Okay.
I think the point is you, and I think your language, the longer language, was freighted with much more stuff, but if it's simply a statement of legal fact that says this is within our authority.
Jonathan's language.
So, now, somebody remind me who seconded Frank's. Dooley did.
Nobody.
Okay, couldn't accept it as friendly. Okay, so then you have the new language? Okay, so that's.
Could you read it, please?
Go ahead.
Resolve further that this legislature recognizes that salaries can be changed by the legislature during the course of the term.
We mean the legislature's salaries can be changed, right, Frank?
Yeah, hang on. I want to make sure that we're not giving people the impression that we can raise our salaries during the term.
Actually, we have that power. We can raise or decrease them. But to say that we can change them is the simple way to say it.
I just, for the record, my intention is to, if need be, to lower our salaries. But your language is okay.
Okay, and to make it clear that it's the legislature's salaries can be changed. Okay, am I up to Jim?
Yeah, okay. Let me get that correct. You can lower it or raise it in midterm. That is as lame as it gets, you know. I mean, it
can be changed.
That's shocking that you could do that.
Yeah,
and we could literally have an argument in the midterm if seven of us who are lucky enough to get reelected after the public views this discussion, and that, well, I want to up my salary 10 grand in year two. You know, I mean, come on.
I think Jonathan's making a legal statement of what our authority
includes. You can raise it or lower, right?
Oh, understood. Okay. Right. Okay.
I'm certainly not going to support this.
Okay. Who's next?
I wouldn't enact it, but it's there. It's true.
So this was new information. Our problem is that we're attempting to forecast 4 years out, and I think we all recognize there's very real pain out there. We want to be sensitive to the fact that many of our constituents have gotten no raises and maybe going backwards. But we're also trying to anticipate what would be fair for this body. And our ability to change this, you know, Jim, you perceive this as a problem. And I see the problem of a body essentially setting its own salary. That does seem fundamentally wrong. But if we are not doing that, then we have to really try to see what constitutes will, you know, be some level of fairness over the next 4 years. And I think what Mike has proposed is very modest. I think it's almost insignificant. Just gas prices alone will have gone up far more than that. In the coming session. We'll have one less member, one less person to sit on committees, to take up assignments. We will all, in a small way, be doing more work for less money. And, you know, maybe that seems fine for many people. It seems fundamentally unfair. It may be the best we can do, but I think we need to view this as setting it for 4 years, even though we theoretically have the ability to change.
Peter, and then Jim.
Frank, I understand what you're trying to do. You certainly educated me, because I was not aware that the legislature had that power, and now I am aware of it. But frankly, I don't really see any reason to proclaim it. We have the power, and I don't exactly understand what it, what good it does to make that power public. We certainly don't add anything to our power by putting it in. I think it might raise questions. Why did we put that in exactly? Are we thinking of raising our salaries in the middle? Somebody might ask that question, and I just don't see the point of doing it. So it's educational, but still in all, I don't think it. I certainly do not intend to raise the salary or lower it during the course of that time. So I think I'll vote against it. I understand what you're trying to do, but I think we shouldn't really raise the issue at this point.
Jim, Frank, and Julie.
Let me just mention in a more civil tone. During the years 10-11, any of our employees under a bargaining unit contract did not end up with zero. Everyone, like a large share of people, have longevity after a number of years. So there was a bump in everyone's salary during that time. So, you know, for us to kind of equate ourselves with that is really wrong, as far as I'm concerned. One of the issues that I think always comes up, I've been here for, this is my second salary discussion, and legislators have a difficult time trying to justify increases if there are increases, and it's always easier to say no and leave it the same way. And what we all forget, and Brian brought it up, and I'm sorry to repeat it, that we're setting the salary for other people. There may be some other people who run for this job, hopefully, and are successful. They will then end up with that new salary. I'm not presumptuous enough as one legislator to say that I'm setting my own salary, because, one, I haven't decided whether I'm going to do it again, and two, you know, I think that I'm not in it for the money. I'm truly not. And I've been accused of making cynical comments that the resolution I have is for $20,000, and it actually, if we were 14 at 20K, it would be less money than we're spending now for 15 at 18.7. And I only do that because the world I walk in is budget right now as a legislator. So those are the kind of things that come to me. I don't give it as a reason. I think the job is worth 18.7. I think the job may be worth $19 or $375 more, and I thought the job was worth $20,000 in the resolution that I have here. But I really don't think we ought to give ourselves the out of either adding to our salary in midterm or reducing our salary. I think we set a number, we voted up or down, and move on from there.
Okay, Frank Dooley, and maybe we can wrap up.
Thanks, Martha.
On the amendment, anyway.
Already, enough of you have misinterpreted what my intention is. My intention, by the wording that I started with, was to reserve the right for us, for the next legislature, thanks, Jim, to reduce its salary, not raise it. The wording that was substitute, the wording that was accepted as friendly, now that I've heard it more often, gives the next legislature, in my opinion, the erroneous right to raise its salary as well as lower it. My intention never was to suggest that we raise it. I wanted back up a step. I wanted to have a reflection because I'm going back several years to what Jonathan coached me on back then, and perhaps it resulted in that memo. The only time we could introduce a change to even think about reducing our salaries was when we set the salaries for the next legislature. That's why I brought it tonight. If it, now I realize, as Martha has already said, that my wording might be more confusing. In my opinion, it might add more clarity. I want to make sure that the public doesn't assume that I'm proposing that we reserve the right to raise our salaries. With respect to what Brian said, setting the number is not the same. That's a separate issue. As he said, that affects people who aren't even around this table yet. My proposal just enhances it to say that be aware that if the county takes a hit, we don't know what the, as Will said, we don't have a crystal ball. We're assuming that we're not going to be in bad shape. But if we decide to cut back, that this legislature might also decide to cut its own salaries back to participate in any cutback. That is the point that I'm trying to make.
Point of order.
I'm wondering if...
Point of order.
Yeah.
How did Frank's amendment get changed? I can't remember.
Dooley read it in Jonathan's former memo.
So you want to hear the language again? Is that what you're saying?
No, I just... Frank makes a point that I think is valid, and I just wonder how we could get back to that. Okay. I don't remember anymore how it got from Frank's original motion to the one that we have.
Dooley read the memo from Jonathan, and then basically suggested that as language. Frank said, "Okay, that sounds good," and Dooley said, "You know, she was the seconder, so that was okay with her."
Okay.
I'm kind of thinking we might be able to vote on this language amendment. Is there anything really burning that has to be said? Dooley, and then Carol, and then Brian?
Okay. I wouldn't characterize it as burning, but the reason for putting this in, the reason for disclosing this, is because we have been saying repeatedly that we want to set the salaries so that people who decide to run will know what their salaries will be. And the fact that they can be changed during the term by the legislature sitting is part of that disclosure. So they know that they can't 100% rely on whatever the schedule says, since the legislature has the authority during its term to change its own salary without mentioning up or down or why. It's just a disclosure to people who might choose to run that they can't 100% rely on the schedule that we vote on. That's all it's for.
Okay. Carol?
This is not about the amendment, but I'd like to not have the question called before I get my turn again on the whole thing.
Yeah, but yeah. Anything on this amendment,
I'll
this language?
As long as I get a turn later.
Yeah. Brian?
What would be wrong with keeping this language in the amendment except take out... I think it says increase or decrease.
No.
Change.
It says change.
It says change.
It says change.
Okay. And that, Peter, I'm with you. I'm confused. Never mind. Go ahead.
But that's by virtue of being a disclosure, the legal truth is that it can be changed. That means it can be changed up or down. And I think it's certainly understood that whoever's on that legislature that might take that issue up deals with all the pros and cons of up or down.
Can we just say it can be changed downward? Leave it
you
at that?
You can move it.
Well, that'd be a third amendment. We can't.
It's only partially true.
That's only partially true. All right, Mike.
I hope we don't add this amendment to the amendment, because I think all it does is invite tampering by a future board. I think it doesn't belong in there.
Okay, ready to vote on the language that Kathy, would you read one more time?
Why? There's only one amendment now, the accepted amendment, right?
We're voting. We have to vote. She accepted it. It's been accepted as Oh, that's true. The language is part of it.
The language is, I mean, we could move to change that, I believe. That would be a Second Amendment.
That's right. Because it was accepted as friendly.
No way. She couldn't accept it. She couldn't accept it as part of the committee. She seconded your amendment, and then when the new language came up, you said, okay, and she said, okay, because she suggested it.
But Dooley could not vote on your amendment.
Yeah, Dooley couldn't accept, this is not in any way the main motion.
Yes, she could have, because the thing that Dooley could not accept as friendly was Mike's substitution, Mike's motion. But she could, and that was the amendment. Frank's was an amendment to the amendment. And so mm-hmm. Dooley was accepting that as friendly. She was the seconder of it. So what we're voting on now is just that one resolve.
That's what I think. Yes. Right.
Correct.
Right. Yeah.
That's correct. So she could accept that as friendly.
No, I moved the amendment. It had been friendly to me.
Yeah, it wasn't friendly to
right.
Mike.
Right. So the issue is, are we going to have this language inserted into Mike's substitute?
Yes.
But that's where it's going to move.
And if we don't, we can let's say we insert it, but we vote his substitute down. Somebody can move if they want to insert it into the main
motion. Someplace else. Yes.
Okay.
Carol? This was the whole reason I was asking to separate to begin with, if you'll recall.
All right.
So we're just voting
on
this.
Let's just try to get this done. I hope we can understand what we're all voting on. Peter.
Yes, I believe I have the right to make the motion that we amend the current version by changing raise or lower to simply lower. I think I have the right to make that. That this is there aren't
John,
two outstanding two amendments. Already.
I think that would be three. Jonathan?
Yeah, I think that would be a third amendment at this point.
But at this time, there's only two amendments sitting
right,
here.
Right, there's
and
Mike's,
one of them's been
and there's
separate.
Frank's. So yours would be a third, and you can't have a third.
So here's an idea. We vote this up, or let's say we vote this down, then we only have one more amendment. You can raise your hand and offer a new amendment. Because we could, be here all night.
Not until I'm clear.
Peter, if you'll do that, I'll vote against the amendment.
All right. Kathy, read what we've got. And this, I guess, goes in after the dates and the dollars.
This vote is on the amendment to the amendment. And the resolved reads, resolve further that this legislature recognizes that legislature salaries can be changed by the legislature during the course of a term.
All those in favor of adding that language to Mike's substitute amendment, Mike's substitute motion, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. That doesn't sound right.
No, you didn't.
Did I miss you guys? All the opposed, please raise your hand again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Okay. 3 to 12. That fails. What's on the floor is... Yes, Peter?
I'd like to move an amendment to say... I'm sorry, I don't have the words, but the same amendment except only have the word reduce in it instead of change.
Second.
Okay. Kathy, you want to read that? Legislature acknowledges.
Resolve further that this legislature recognizes that legislature salaries can be reduced by the legislature during the course of a term.
Thank you.
Okay.
No, I mean, it's accurate.
It's not complete, but it's accurate. Okay, Kathy Luce.
Thank you. I have two comments which can be taken in a broad sense or in relation to this amendment. I'm going to say them so that I don't have to repeat it if we continue to discuss this. The first is that this job, even if you're not able to come to the meetings, takes a lot of time. We all know that. I think many of us devote a lot of hours, whether it's 1 or 2 in the morning or whether it's early in the morning or both, to this work. We had a discussion earlier tonight about livable wage. I find it interesting, I won't say ironic, that many people are concerned about a livable wage for all the employees of the county. I certainly am, even though it is, as many have said, a complex issue. We need to think about that in terms of our own salaries. I can tell you this, as somebody that wasn't able to make it to meetings, I probably put in 20 hours a week anyway. Phone calls, talking to people when I could, emails. It's an interesting job. We love it. Which brings me to my second point. I'd like to take issue with the assertion that, well, no one literally said this, but the implication is that if you need the money, you shouldn't be doing this job. The fact is, it's a democratic thing that some of us who want to serve really couldn't serve unless we knew ahead of time how to plan our finances. And in fact, some of us that serve now, we really have to work a couple of jobs. And I know it's not the case for everybody, but that's what democracy is about. It allows those of us that want to serve to be able to try and figure out how we can work it out. If you make it to where you can change the salary in midstream by a majority vote, my guess is that the majority of the legislature would be able to accept a reduction in salary, but some may not. One or two. They might not be in the majority. So this by itself makes it to where a certain class of people wouldn't be able to serve. I don't really think that's fair, and I think we should be careful. I understand we want to respond to the times, and I appreciate that effort. But I'd like for us to be really careful about putting it into writing that we could decide by majority during a session, during a term of 4 years, that we could raise lower legislator salary by a vote of the majority. I think this would make a lot of people who would like to run, who would like to be public servants, have to say, no, for my family, for my everything, for my health, I couldn't do it. And I think it's exclusionary, and it goes against what we talk about when we talk about inclusion. So having said that, you can guess how I'll vote, which is if this amendment goes forward, I would vote against it.
Last one?
Not for me, it's not.
You know, there's a little historical context here for me. I remember when I first ran for this body, and maybe not everybody has this experience. I had a job, and I no longer had a job. There's something about being in public office that all of a sudden, you know, for some of us, you're not employable. And I don't know if it's because, you know, I don't know if it's because I'm a black woman. I don't know what it is. And I recall just how important this salary was to me when I ran for office. I remember sitting in this body. I sat over there or someplace. I was over here and was in tears as we talked about not giving ourselves or not voting. I think it was a $500 increase, and I'm thinking that is part of the taxes I have to pay to live in the city of Ithaca, and how important that amount of money was to me. Now I'm fortunate to have another job, but it's really hard, and I think of other people who may want to do this out there. I'm not advocating one way or another. But I do believe that if we set a salary, unlike what Dooley said, that people, you know, should not think that they come to rely on this, that people should know that this is what it is. Because for some people, they don't have the luxury of being able to have another job, and this is it. They want to serve, and their employer says, well, you know, you either do this or you do that, and it gets really difficult, really, really difficult. And if we move in a direction where we're not setting something that people can really live with or rely on, then it gets to the point where only a certain group of people can serve on this body, and that's one of the things we've been trying to get away from. And not everybody will believe that concept. I lived it, so I know. Okay, other people may not have had that experience, and, you know, bless you all, but I have. And there are other people out there who I know would be happy to do this. You know, I look at Dave, 3 o'clock in the morning, and, you know, he's there picking up my daughter. But he's here late at night doing this. You know, that's a commitment. People put time in. And people out there who are interested in running for these positions should know this is what I'm going into. So in the event that you end up in a place where I ended up, where you no longer have a job, you know at least you have something to budget around. And it's not like you can go out there and claim unemployment insurance, because this counts. It counts. I ended up in that position where unemployment said, no, you are getting money, so you can't claim unemployment. But I also can't claim any benefits against it. So, you know, there's something about it. And we should really be cognizant of that and take it into consideration as we make our decisions. Just want to share that little historical context from my own personal experience here in this legislature.
Frank, and then I'd like to weigh in.
Thank you, Martha. I certainly sympathize, and I understand exactly what Leslin is describing. Some of us have lost jobs. Recently, I have lost a job. Mm-hmm. And some of us in the past have been on unemployment insurance. a number of years ago, I was in that category, so I can certainly understand what Leslin is describing. This is not about class warfare, folks. This is simply alerting anyone who runs for these chairs this year for next year that if the county decides to reduce spending in its departments, that this board also, and I think it's a fairness issue to incorporate what Kathy has said, let's be fair. If we want our departments to take, if we're considering that our departments can take a budget cut, it would only be fair, from my perspective, that some of us consider, this is not an automatic, it still has to be voted on, that we consider also participating in taking a cut ourselves. That's simply it. It's nothing to do with who can serve or how reliant anybody is on the money. It's simply, if we're asking you to absorb some of the pain, that we're willing to take some of the pain ourselves.
Okay, my comment is that we are paid a stipend. We're not paid a salary. Mm-hmm. We don't punch a clock. We can't decide. I mean, I suppose people can say, well, I'm getting, you know, if my salary is cut, I'm not going to come to every third meeting or something. But I don't think anybody's going to do that. We have a responsibility. We take it seriously. Anybody who runs for this office is doing that. It's a different animal. And I agree that the idea of uncertainty that, you know, I mean, we've all been educated that now, in fact, the legislature does have this authority. We didn't realize that we did. Okay. However, putting it in this resolution, in particular with the bias of saying that we could reduce the salary, sends a very strong signal to somebody who's considering this that says, well, they say 18.7 or 19 whatever or 20, but, you know, I guess I can't count on that. I mean, that, you know, somebody, and I hazard to say, I think it could become a very serious political football, and I don't think that would be appropriate. I think right now is the time when we have to make a decision that lasts 4 years. And, you know, there are lots of decisions that we make that last 20 years. That's what we did with the capital plan. And I think if we can't forecast 19,075 or 20,000 or 18, whatever it is, I think we have to make our best guess or estimate or projection and vote for that salary and make that commitment to the future people who will run for this office. I think it would be a terrible signal to add this language in. Pat.
Well, a couple of things that have occurred to me as I've listened. One is that, as I understand it, whether or not we put this language in here, we still have the right to raise or lower our salaries during our term of office. So there's a part of me that's saying, why are we spending so much time on this? You know, we have other things to deal with here, for crying out loud. It really doesn't make any difference, but it seems like we're trying to send some kind of signal to to the rest of the public about what our intentions are. But then the second thing that occurs to me is that we are, in a sense, in the same category as hundreds of thousands of millions of other working people who do not have guaranteed job security, whose salaries, whether it be because their hours are cut, including our own employees, right here in Tompkins County. We have made the decision. I have helped to make the decision over this past 3 years to reduce people's salaries, so to speak, by reducing their hours, by canceling programs. Every time we make budget decisions, we impact people's lives in the same way that we're saying it would hurt us if we did this. So, you know, I'm perfectly willing to go ahead and vote to say this, because I do think it's reality. I just wish we'd stop talking about it and go ahead and make a decision.
Okay, quick, are we ready to vote? I think we've kind of aired a lot of the issues here, and this is just to change this language in the amendment. Okay? All right. All in favor of adding the language in here that says the legislature has the authority to reduce legislators' salaries during the term? All in favor of adding that language, please raise your hands. Three. Opposed? Fails 3-12. We are on the main motion without any new language. I know, I'm calling it the main. It's mainer than the other part. Okay, so we're on whether to substitute Mike's resolution for the committee resolution. And Carol, are you raising your hand?
I wanted to offer a further amendment. Regardless of, which I would actually like to have carried forward, regardless of what the amount is, I had a big concern this morning when I saw the paper that there's really a misperception out there that we must have generated, that people don't understand that we're setting a 4-year salary rather than a 1-year salary. And I think that could easily be helped by changing the title to add the word 4-year. So setting salaries of members of the Tompkins County Legislature to be elected for the 4-year term commencing January 1st, 2014.
It's friendly.
Got it.
It's
friendly?
Woohoo. All right.
Okay.
Is
that an amendment?
Who was the seconder of Mike's? Were you the seconder? Okay.
Okay. And
for
in that light, in that light, I have a. I wanted to add to Leslin's, to what Leslin talked about, and Kathy, and a couple of other people. This isn't just a hypothetical. I think that it really is important that we continue and expand our ability to attract a really broad segment of the population into this job. I had a white-collar job, and I literally got to a point where I had to make a decision. I was told, you know, there were other factors that led to this, but I was told that if you're going to stay in this job, regardless of what the other activity was, you know, these are the hours that your job is set for, and there's not going to be the kind of flexibility that you want to continue to serve on the legislature. And I was already here and had to make that decision. I made that decision to leave that other job for other reasons. The salary discrepancy was not it alone. But the fact that there was a salary that was at the $18,700 level at the time was one that enabled me to make that decision, that in terms of what my family finances were. And the fact that over now, it would be an 8-year period, that, you know, we were going to see no increase, it would be a significant hardship to my family as well. I happen to be married to somebody who's also in a nonprofit sector, but You know, if we just, I do believe that we want to be able to attract a good cross section, and there are many people who could not even consider a job if it doesn't keep some kind of track with inflation. In that light, I've asked Joe to give us some figures, and I'm not sure if the way that I asked it, or what I'm looking for is if we inflated at the amount that we've asked our employees to do so, and also into the future, where would we be at a 2% and then a...
If I understood the question right, it was kind of go back and see what everybody else has gotten and apply it to your 18.7, which I think the last increase you received was in 2009, which means that in 2010... like everyone else, it'd be a 0% in 2011, a bonus in 2012 that would go away, and then a 2% and a 2% in 2013 and 2014. If you were to do that, that would bring the 2014 salary up to $19,455. So that would bring it up to that first year of this four-year arrangement that you're looking at today at $19,455.
Okay, and then our employees, what are they doing over the next 2 or 3 years?
Well, that's the same thing. The end of the line for our employees will be 2014. That's the last negotiated wage amount, which was the 2% there. So
okay.
Again,
what would it be if we went, say, at 2% and then 2% on top of that? I was getting, well, why don't you tell me what you got?
Well, I didn't, but I can do it really quickly.
19,839 and then 22,235. So that would get us up to where Jim was looking.
You're saying if there were a 2% a year increase?
Well, actually, or 2% every other year.
Okay. All right, we've got one motion on the floor.
Okay, and then I wanted to just get an idea of what the figures would be if that 0.25% a year that Brian was talking about was enacted, and then if what our employees were getting was enacted, so where get an idea of where we would be, I just wanted to comment on as we look to compare ourselves to others. I wanted to comment on several things that I found, because as we looked at others, and as some of you have thrown out some of the salaries in other places. I went looking at what those were, and what I noticed were several things. One is that some of those places have living expenses that are more than what we have here, and some of them have less. So that's something we want to take into account, and that I want to take into account, and I think we're probably somewhere in the right place for where we are here. And then some of those places, many of those places, listed job titles for people additional to the chair. All of them had additional salaries for the chair. Many of them seemed to have additional salaries for, say, committee chairs, for majority and minority whips. One of them did have an Albany liaison, a New York State liaison. So it looked as though some of those positions might be at different price points. And then the third thing that I noticed was that some of them have offices and staff, for that matter, which we don't have here at all, as Mike pointed out. So, you know, as we look at where we ought to be, I just want to make sure that we take into account those kinds of things. I think my conclusion is that we were probably at about the right spot when I came onto the legislature, and I would like to see us, you know, not inflated very high, but try to stay comparable to there in some fashion.
Brian.
Oh, my turn. I'm not so sure we need a whole lot more discussion, so I will. let me try to put it in perspective a little bit in case nobody's done the math. And to use round numbers, I'll take Jim's figure of $20,000, which at the time I thought was a good idea, only because, again, it's not for us, and that may actually attract somebody that might not otherwise have thought to want to do this sort of stuff, maybe. But if you take our stated average work week of 30 hours a week, 52 weeks a year, divide out $20,000, you're talking about $12.82 per hour. If that's appealing to anybody out there watching that's sitting here just watching that stuff and it's attractive, go on down to the Board of Elections and try to get a head start on, you know, because you can come and join the fun. We just need to settle on a figure, whatever it is, you know. Let's just do it.
Okay. Frank, and then I'd like to say something.
Yeah. And in that vein, I'd like to add another amendment that we are eligible for longevity. Anyone that has 10 or more years service on this board ought to get longevity pay. Is that, can we be included?
I'm going on 20
here. Well, even 20. 25.
All right. Are we, Jim?
And you would also be eligible for progressive discipline if you do not show up to work and demoting your salary and possibly bringing you up on charges.
Okay.
So sounds like we need a collective bargaining unit okay.
I want to make a point that maybe the title, and since I'm up here and I can't make a motion, but maybe somebody would be interested in. See that parentheses that says 2% increase? What if it said one-time 2% increase? Would that be more? In other words, it's not like a 2% annual increase.
Yes, I think that's why.
Would anybody like to make that suggestion? Sure. Pam would suggest adding one-time into the parentheses. And, Lord, I have no idea who's. This is Mike's friendly. Okay.
One-time being for the first year.
Yeah, the, well, it's a one-time increase.
But
and that's
for the first year only.
But for the first year only?
For 2014.
No, the idea being that it's not an annual 2%.
You mean it's not a target, is that right?
Mike?
Get it, Peter.
Mike, yeah.
I just have to say that if there was anything that was going to discourage people from running for this office, is watching this conversation for the last hour.
Yes. Okay.
It's a healthy conversation.
I've got Mike and then Jim.
Call a question on the substitute resolution.
All right. Is there a second to that? Seconds by Peter. All in favor of calling a question on the substitute resolution, please raise your hand. One.
I'm sorry,
Brian, we're calling a question
on the substitute,
which is will be the vote then will be whether to put this on the floor as the substitute. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 11. Opposed? Please be 4. Opposed? 3. Somebody to vote.
Kathy didn't vote.
No, I thought you did. All right. All in favor of calling the question, please raise your hand high. 2, 3.
Don't, Kathy, don't.
Don't strike Kathy. Be careful.
12. Opposed? All right. I think it was 13.
Point of order, Mark.
Yes.
You asked that I put that that amendment on the floor, and I did.
The one time?
Yeah.
And Mike said it was friendly.
That's in there.
And Mike said it was friendly.
Okay.
Bless you, Mike.
So the title says, in parentheses, one-time 2% increase. It is time to vote on whether this, as amended resolution, becomes the new main motion. So this is not actually to vote this up or down. This is just to vote whether we're going to consider it, and there's no discussion.
And which one of the... of the versions, is it? What's the increase? Or
2%.
The 2%
Mike,
increase. 74.5.
It's the one-time 2% increase, and it is, the title says, setting salaries of members of the Tompkins County Legislature to be elected for the four-year term commencing January 1st, 2014, in parentheses, one-time 2% increase. And that is the only change from Mike's original. or those two title changes are the only change. So all in favor of having this be the motion that we finally vote on, please raise your hand.
Again.
This is not, are we going to do this? This is, are we going to vote on this? Okay.
We're calling the question here again?
No, we've called the question. It is time to vote. Is this now going to be the main motion?
Suppose it gets defeated. What is the main motion?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Opposed?
We have another hour and a half.
Two people didn't vote.
Well, Pat, yes or no?
Pat didn't.
I don't understand what happens if we defeat it. Where are we?
Then we go back to the main motion that came out of GEO.
And then you can amend that.
All right. I'm going to call this vote again, please. It is late. It's not getting any earlier. Please, let's pay attention to each other. This is on whether this is going to be what we vote on, the $19,075.
I'm sorry. Suppose we don't vote. Suppose this thing passes and then that fails. Then what happens?
If this passes as becomes our main motion,
right,
and
then
it fails,
what
we're
happens?
Down to we're back to the GO committee's recommendation.
Okay. Thank you.
All in favor again. Please, of this becoming the main motion, please raise your hand and keep your hands up. Opposed. That passes 13 to 2. Okay. Now we have in front of us resolution to increase salaries one time to $19,075 for the 4-year term. Ready to vote? Oh, good. Okay. All in favor of this? It needs to be a short roll call. Perhaps it should be a full roll call. Okay? This is now accepting or not this as our legislature's salaries next term.
I have a question.
Yes?
What happens then to Jim's, to the one that came out of the other committee?
They never brought it.
If you turn over your agenda, it's disappeared. It's gone.
The thing is, it
gone.
Is... Yes.
Does anybody from that committee? I'd like to hear from somebody from that committee as to why they picked that.
Well, I think here, Carol, because this is substantially the same motion, same business, it was available to anybody to change this to 20,000. It. At this point, if people want, and we really aren't supposed to be discussing it now, we're supposed to be voting. If people think it actually, they know that 20,000 is in the packet, you vote it down. And then
so we didn't
vote.
Call a question on this, did we?
Yes.
Yeah, we read, it's time to vote. We're supposed to be voting. It's a roll call vote.
Oh, it is?
No, I'm sorry, Martha. Nobody just called the question.
Yes.
Yes, they did.
We did.
That was on the amendment.
No.
That was on the amendment.
It was on whether this should be...
No, actually, you're right. You're right.
I would like to hear from somebody on the committee that came up with the other amount why they came up with that amount and why they've changed their mind now.
Okay. Jim?
There were three of us at the meeting, and they can jump in any time they want to. First of all, it was a 3-0 recommendation coming out of the meeting. And Mike supported it to come out of the meeting just so that we could vote on it. Brian and I, well, I'm not going to speak for you. I came with the number $20,000. I looked at a variety of ways and reasons for doing that. One of them was to use all the things that all of you have said, attract people to come to try to be here, and I had a whole bunch of other reasons that you've all said at least 4 times. And what it really turned out to be was 3 salary increases if you did it by the year or of, divide 13 by 4, and you can figure it out for yourself. That's what the increase was going to be. The 2% that's just been talked about was the number that Mike came up with. The 375 added on is actually 2% of 18.7. There was no, I didn't really have a scientific reason for doing this, but it just made sense to me to bring a number that I thought would be a fair number to attract people to run for this legislature. It sort of looked at the fact of a living wage. I have the same numbers on this piece of paper that Brian has, 1560 times 12, 18,700. 1560 times into 20K, it's $12.82. And he brilliantly said all the things that I was hoping to say about if that attracts someone, I will be the first one to help them learn how to fill out a petition and go door to door. So that was pretty much why I came. I did not think it was an outrageous number. I thought it was a number that was going to work to attract people to run to this legislature. And we were, and oh, by the way, we were reducing the number of people that had to do the work that we have done. And the other part of it is, and I think all of you know this, that you run for this job, you get the pay for doing the job, and interestingly enough, you don't even have to show up to get the pay. And I don't mean for people not being here now, but there are cases in the city of Ithaca over the last 10 years, a person was elected, collected the salary every month, and was out of the city for a year and a half and continue to collect their money. So, you know, you could move to the Virgin Islands and check back in every so often or come to every meeting that there is or come to the meeting that you have to. You're going to get paid $20,000, $19,000, $18,700. I thought it was a fair number, and I'm willing to defend it to the people that put me here. And, you know, if need be, someone can run against me if I decide to run. And, you know, I'm not going to have a problem with that. And I don't think any of the rest of us should have a problem with that either. And, you know, what concerns me is that we play these games with $300 or $400 and somehow we think that the people outside, unfortunately, I hope the heck they're not watching us, but will really say, I'm going to vote for that guy or that woman because he doesn't want to raise the salary. I mean, that makes no sense to me at all. So that's where the $20,000 came from.
I guess who's watching depends on whether that fracking meeting is still going on.
And fracking always gets a higher rating than we do.
Okay, it's a follow-up, Jim. So and then why not? Why have you decided not to drop that or to...
Want to interrupt this lively discussion we're going on about $18,700 and $375 more.
Well, or come to a compromise where you don't necessarily step up the entire amount at once, but
I think
Joe was talking,
there is a resolution on the floor, and you can all see how I'm going to vote on it. But, you
know. Okay, there's a resolution on the floor. So if there is an alternative amount or arrangement or whatever, and you think that you can get 8 votes for it, and I would suggest not just throwing something out here for another 20 minutes of discussion, but if it seems that there's something that might get 8 votes, then so anybody's welcome to make an amendment. Jim?
And let me answer your question, Carol. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I have been listening for 2 hours about the discussion about this, and it did not make sense to me that I would raise my hand and say, well, I want to amend 18.7 or 19.3 to 20,000 just so that we can stay here after 1 o'clock. You know, it makes no sense to me. That's why I didn't do it.
Okay. I'm pretty sure people really know how each other feels and how they might vote. So, are we ready? All right. Thanks, Kathy.
Ms. Herrera?
Yes.
Ms. Kiefer?
Yes.
Mr. Lane?
Yes.
Ms. McAsee?
Yes.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
Yes.
Mr. McKenna?
Yes.
Mr. Proto?
No.
Ms. Pryor?
No.
Mr. Robinson?
No.
Mr. Shinagawa?
No.
Mr. Stein?
No.
Mr. Burbank?
Yes.
Ms. Chalk?
Yes.
Mr. Dennis?
Yes.
Ms. Robertson?
No.
Nine ayes, six noes.
Okay. Then that is the salary for the next legislature, $19,075. All right. I don't think we have to go to the budget resolution. Dooley, is there anything else on your report? Dooley? I think we're still on the GO report.
No, I said when the next meeting was.
Okay. All right. Brian?
I just want to make sure that somebody gives the Board of Elections a heads up as to the stampede they're going to get tomorrow morning. It could get nasty.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Good job, Brian.
The next committee, then, is probably budget. No, it's Planning, Development, Environmental Quality Committee. Will Burbank, Chair.
Well, thank you, Mark. The Planning, Development, Environmental Quality has not met since we last had our meeting. We had actually scheduled our next meeting for this coming Wednesday, which is the 9th. Having done that, which was a rescheduling, I've discovered that at least one of our members cannot make that. And so I am sending around, even as we speak, a note to see if we can reschedule, and before anyone leaves this room tonight, I hope to have a consensus as to whether or not to move the date. Stay tuned. That's my report.
Okay. Questions? Yes, Frank and then Carol.
I just want to add something to the Planning Committee's report regarding the Water Resources Council, because that's the committee to which it reports. The fracking comments are due, as Martha said, next Tuesday, a week from.
Into Albany? Friday.
No, they're due to us. The subcommittee that the WRC set up will be receiving those comments, and then we'll be forwarding them on to Albany. Martha and I were talking at one point about this board at least sending a letter off to, and you're better at describing it than I. If you'd like, I can supply those comments to you once the WRC receives them.
Totally.
Would
yes.
you like to have them?
Please.
Do you think it would be wise for this board to do something to issue some sort of a statement?
Yeah, that's what we're going to try to do, is to craft a letter. And obviously, I'll check with planning, too, and see if they're going to, you know.
I'll send them to Will also.
Yeah, so, in fact, maybe you want to just send, when WRC is done with them, send them to everybody?
Okay.
Okay?
Sure.
That'd be great. Thanks a lot, Frank.
You're welcome.
Carol?
Yeah, I have a question for Will. So, I know that we're all frustrated by the fact that the green building policy discussion has been put off both F&I and PDEC until both at a point of time at which both Ed, Marks, and Arell could be there. And there have been various dates that one or the other could be there. Is that something, if you're going to change the date, if you could just make sure that that's a time that Arell could be there as well, that would be helpful.
Okay, so we will either try to do that or we will make sure that that happens at the next meeting, but that's an important concern. And that, in fact, was on our agenda for this next meeting. So.
Okay. Thank you, Will. Broadband Committee, Pat Pryor, Chair.
Yes, the Broadband Committee is scheduled to meet on January 28th at 5:30. In the meantime, our subcommittee that's working on a plan for education and outreach will be meeting on the 7th at 11 o'clock in the morning. The thing that we are kind of anxiously awaiting is word from Albany on any decision by the REDC on the applications for broadband funding. We were told that those decisions would happen sometime in January, but we don't know when, so we're all kind of anxiously waiting.
Right.
That's it.
Thanks very much, Pat. Any questions? Budget, Capital, and Personnel Committee, Jim Dennis, Chair.
Thank you very much. My first action would be to withdraw Resolution D, if everyone's okay with that. I would do that. Secondly, I believe we will have a meeting on the 28th of January. Third, the Director of Finance, those of you who are members of the Director of Finance Search Committee, Steve Estes sent out an email today. He would like people to rate their
the 23 applicants we have. We have a meeting scheduled for, I believe, January 10th. And I'm losing the time, 9 or 10 in the morning, 10 o'clock in the morning. Congratulations to both of you for being the leadership of the county legislature and getting us off to this beginning. So that is all I have, and we'll see how the committee goes and however it is, and hopefully we'll come together on the 28th. I don't know if it'll be a new committee or an old committee, but the finance committee will meet, budget committee will meet on January 28th. Thank you very much for your work.
Would you want to say another word or two about the candidates for the finance director? You said
no,
23.
I don't.
Okay. All right. Any questions for Jim? All right. Public Safety Committee, Peter Stein, chair.
Public Safety Committee met for the first time this year, yesterday, and had the shortest meeting I can ever remember, and I have nothing to report.
Any questions? All right, but Peter, you do have Resolution E.
Right. So, I'd like to move this resolution. We did spend about 3 minutes. Okay.
So read the title, please.
Yeah, sure. Budget adjustment and in support of gun buyback program in collaboration with the City of Ithaca.
Second by Pat.
And all I right. would like to report that we discussed it briefly at the meeting of the Public Safety Committee, and the members supported it.
All right. Thank you. Questions or discussion? Frank and then Kathy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Peter, this may be a question better directed at Joe or David, but the forfeiture money, cannot be used. It cannot go towards general operating expenses of the county, correct? Secondly, any of the administrative costs, any of the administrative acts associated with this, like support for whoever's going to record who's turning what in, any overtime or whatever, will those be covered in some other way, or maybe are they volunteer hours or covered by the $10,000 or what?
No, they won't be volunteer hours. There will be paid people out there, some of whom may earn overtime rates. We believe it's going to be a very low amount, less than $1,000. It would be absorbed by the sheriff's operating budget. So they'll all be sheriff's personnel out there. So it's not covered by this. This is strictly money to purchase firearms.
Is the city also contributing, beside the personnel, are they contributing a similar dollar amount?
Yeah, this will go to purchase guns at the county's site, which is one of two sites. The city will be purchasing guns, firearms, at its site.
At the fire department.
So they're financing this essentially the same way that we are. They did get a contribution, but it's mostly through the drug seizure money.
Thank you.
And it has nothing to do with where you live. It's just, that it's the county or the city program. It's where you take the gun.
Well, just a general comment. I mean, some of us have had inquiries, and there's kind of misinformation going around out in the community. I've been trying to explain this is not an attempt to restrict weapons. It's to collect weapons that are not wanted for one reason or another.
It's totally voluntary. Anyone who has
Absolutely.
A weapon that they would that they don't want and would like to get rid of can bring it there, and the weapon will be destroyed.
I think that point needs to be made over and over again. Thank you, Peter.
Kathy, you had your hand up, right? Okay.
Yes, thank you. I was glad Frank brought up the fact that there are going to be costs incurred to the county by this. The thing that, various things about this are of interest to me. The first thing is, I found out about this on Facebook. I find it intriguing that there was a very short discussion at Public Safety about this. I did get a note from Martha similar to the note I got saying there was going to be a meeting with Barbara Lifton, basically saying this is happening, I got together with the mayor and we're going to do this. It looks to me like this wasn't really vetted through the legislature. And I know I'm running the risk of being accused of being pro-gun right now, but I think that this is problematic. And much as I appreciate the fact that public safety met to have a short meeting to basically rubber stamp this, what's going on with our legislature? I mean, I know that this is something that we need to respond to, and I know from watching on TV and from experiencing it myself that there's a huge emotional feeling that we've got to do something about this. I have a proposal, and I know it can't be implemented now, but I throw it down as a suggestion and as a challenge to people that might consider this a feel-back thing, a feel-good thing that's being done quick so that we can grab the headlines and say we did something. And I'd like to suggest that as a county, we consider all the support that we give to businesses and organizations in this county that support the defense industry, that support guns being put in the hands of civilians, and think about the notion that the students are coming up with in other areas, and that is of, what's the word for disinvesting?
Divest.
Divesting ourselves as a county, our retirement funds, the way that they did in California, from companies that we see as contributing to putting assault-type weapons in the hands of civilians here, not just in New York State, but all over the country. We've got power to do that. It's great to collect a few guns and to be able to say, look what we did, and to rush it through the legislature, and I probably won't vote against it, but it stinks to me. I'd rather see us really do something than have something pushed through that really is just done for, in my opinion, a political gain.
Well, may I respond, please?
No, just second. I would say that Will address that during legislative privilege of the floor, mentioned that he is collecting ideas and working on language for resolution, collecting a lot of ideas. That's one thing. And I know, Leslie, you're next, but Brian, you jumped your hand to respond, so
yeah,
we'll go there. And then,
only to say, I don't think it's, well, I don't think, I know it's not accurate that we had a public safety meeting yesterday in order to rubber stamp this. That's not accurate at all. I can tell you I was a bit disappointed in that, and I voiced this yesterday, this was a member-filed resolution when we did have a committee meeting prior to this meeting. I just think it would hold more weight to have it come from the entire committee, and we talked about that yesterday. And you know, there wasn't any ill intent that I believe occurred. Kathy, you know, some of what you said I agree with. I do think that this is somewhat of a knee jerk reaction to a really horrific thing. However, everybody knows what I used to do, and a month ago I sat here and told you about a young man that works at IPD that I did a background check on who got shot. And if we get lucky enough, or the city gets lucky enough, Saturday to take one gun off the street, it's strictly voluntary. It's not taxpayer money. Let's remember that. It's not taxpayer money. It's drug dealer money. You know? So, too bad. We took it. We got it. We can use it however we want, as long as it's to combat narcotics somehow. We all know narcotics and guns kind of go hand in hand. It's perfectly fine to use it for that. Again, it is. It's a knee-jerk reaction. I can foresee the possibility of, and again, we're looking way down the road, something which we here have no control over, But I tend to agree that real assault weapons do not belong in the hands of the general public. Soldiers and law enforcement. That's it. If the law changes, any sort of law, whether, you know, however it gets that to that point, maybe we can have another one of these things where we would take whatever's deemed as illegal off the street and have a real amnesty thing. You know, I almost think we're gonna end up with guns that were in grandma's closet that nobody knows what to do with, and which is fine because grandson could find it in there and, you know, shoot somebody. So good. Let's get rid of it this Saturday and we'll be done with it. Maybe we'll have to do it again at another time. But it's got nothing to do with anything. You know, it's got nothing, no NRA stuff, no taxpayer money. It's voluntary. It's kind of a nuisance thing. So in that sense, obviously, I'm going to support this.
Okay. Let me just make, Leslie, we'll get to you, but let me just respond to this and then Peter very quickly about the committee. Oh, and I've got Pat, too, on the list. It's true, we probably should have run it through the committee. I had forgotten that committee was meeting yesterday. The point is that we were, the mayor thought about this and started looking into it at the same time that I did, and talked to Ken and Ken Lansing and Brian and Peter and Joe. Then Brian let me know that the mayor was thinking of doing it for the city. We got together. He wanted to do it last Saturday. He wanted to hurry up and just do it right now and do it last Saturday. I said, well, I really don't think so. I think, you know, there's plenty of momentum for January 5th, and if you want the county to do it at the same time, we can't do it unless the county legislature votes on it. So we can't do it last Saturday. We can only do it January 5th or later, so that there's time to do it at the legislature. And not just that there was an expenditure and we have to vote that, and the sheriff, even though it's seizure money, the sheriff can't just spend it. But I wanted to make sure that this was something that the full legislature was behind, or at least eight of us were behind. So I apologize for not thinking of the committee that met, you know, the first day after New Year's. We could have had it go through there, and that would have been better, I'm sure. So, Peter?
Well, I wanted to explain that I do want to respond to the general statement that this bypassed the committee and that it's inappropriate to bring such resolutions to the floor. I think it depends on the resolution, Kathy. You're absolutely right. It's theater. It's feel good. It's a response that people make to a horrific situation, and that's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with it. It's a very simple resolution. It's hard to develop an argument against it. What could possibly be wrong with something which doesn't cost the taxpayer anything, which takes guns off the street, which would otherwise be there, and which makes it, and which shows we live in this place and we don't really realize, most of us who lives there, that there are guns around and that people get shot periodically with those guns. But I think it demonstrates that fact when we pick up guns. I don't know how many we're going to pick up. I think people think we're going to, all together, us and the city, will pick up probably something like 40, 50 weapons there. And I think for people to actually hear that there were 40 or 50 weapons that were sitting around in people's houses where a little six-year-old kid could somehow get one and shoot one, a good thing has been done. You'll never know what could have happened if you didn't do it. But there really is very little downside to it. I am very, I stay knowledgeable a lot that things that are of interest to the committee that I chair come through that committee. And I believe in general that we delay things so that the committee can take a meaningful look at it. But this one seemed to me like an exception. Like the right thing to do is to get the most publicity we could, meaning that we did it in concert with the city, and that justified the speed that went through.
And by the way, I did make the mayor know for certain that if this body did not approve this resolution tonight, we wouldn't do it, that we would just cancel it. Leslin.
Martha, that's all well and good, but you know there's no way that the people sitting around this floor would not approve something like this. I hear you, but, you know, it just doesn't feel, it feels a little disingenuous because, you know, people would not do that. Peter, you're right. You know, this is something that in a moment needs to be done. I have no problem with this resolution. I very strongly support my friends and colleagues in law enforcement and my family members and thinking of some of the issues that they have suffered at the hands of guns and many members in this community. I think where I am is partly what Frank started out with, is just around the communication around this issue and making sure that the public really understood what this was. I also was at a place when I heard about this, because unfortunately I had to be away from the region for a while, and when I heard about this, thinking back of sort of that whole sort of comprehensive plan that Will was thinking about, and this would have been a nice thing to sort of fit in there as well, as I was thinking about it myself, to fit in there as well. Yes, it does feel knee-jerk and rushed. I think there's a lot of misconception among community members because there's not been much information for the community about what this is about. And I think people needed some more. So they, you know, they have all kinds of mixed reactions. And if you get out in the streets and you talk to people, you'll hear. I also heard on the radio this morning, you know, I have a huge concern about handguns. Handguns are the ones that people have used to shoot our officers. And then when I hear on the radio this morning that handguns are, you know, it's, I don't remember what the mayor said. I think he said it was like $50 or so, $40 or something for a handgun, and, you know, $200 for a rifle or whatever it is. I thought, man, that should be the opposite way. We want people to turn in those handguns because those are the ones they are using in the streets. Regardless, people turning in guns is a very good thing. Yes, I don't want children getting a hold of grandma's, you know, 1957 Colt 45 that's vintage or whatever it is, and using it on, you know, thinking it's a toy and using it. So I think there's a lot of good to it. I think it really needed a little bit more of a broader body probably talking through this. I wish I were part of the discussion when this was being formulated. Just for me, you know, being out there in the streets and talking to people, you know, to sort of be able to bring that perspective so that we can make sure that whatever it is done, you know, people really understand we're not stopping what did you say, Frank? I forgot what it is. We're not controlling people's right to bear arms. We're not, you know, all those things that people begin to think about and then start poking holes in something that's supposed to be good. You know, so those were just some of the things. The process is some of what really resonated with me more than the actual action that's going to happen. I really hope that it will be successful and we will get some of those real dangerous weapons that people have to use off of the streets. I also heard the mayor this morning talk about, and maybe my law enforcement friends and the people who are involved in this know how to best handle that, but I also heard him talk this morning on the radio about we don't want people, you know, just going and buying some cheap weapons and bringing it in. You know, you buy a gun for, I don't know, $47 or whatever they sell for, and you bring it in and you get $200. I don't know how you control that. So, you know, is that sort of stuff I kept thinking about, and then hearing him speak some more, I kept thinking more and more of maybe there's a process that's in place already, but I don't know that. I don't know that. So it's just process, and I just wanted to share the effort. I appreciate the effort behind it, that it is happening, that our community knows that, you know, we want to take safety seriously, and we want to give people that option. Yeah.
Okay, Dave, is your hand up?
There.
Yeah. Okay, I've got Pat, Carol, Peter, Dave, but let me just say, I would remind everybody, this was over Christmas. The mayor wanted to issue the press release on Christmas Eve, and I said, well, hold on, if you want us to be part of it, we can't do that. You know, and absolutely, I'll be terribly disappointed that this is the last thing we ever do. I also wouldn't be disappointed if we didn't do this now. If we said no and decided to do it separately at a different time, the city can still do theirs. You know, it's not so.
May I just ask a follow-up? Where is the county site? I don't even know where that is.
Crash, Fire, and Rescue Building. It's if you go up to the airport, like you're facing the airport, like you're going to drive in, it's a few buildings to the right. It's before you get to the emergency service, 911.
Right, I know where that is. Has that been announced? Because the only thing I heard on the radio was the fire department.
Well, that was the mayor talking, but
yes,
it's been on the flyer.
It's been announced?
It's been in the newspaper, and Lee Raymond on the radio has been talking about it, like, every day. So.
Okay, that's fine. I didn't hear it. That's why I'm asking. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, so, over the holiday part, it certainly added to the to the confusion and non-standardness of this. Pat, Carol, Peter, Dave.
I am going to support this. I do think there are times when it's important to capitalize on the publicity that's out there in the moment, and there's nothing that says that if we do this this time that it can't be done again another time later on, and I'm sure we'll learn some things this time that we can do better next time around. And to the extent that, as Brian said, we managed to get some guns out of the hands of people who shouldn't have them, I think that's all to the good. I also totally agree that this should not be the only thing we do. I did read someplace that our retirement system is taking a look at our investments and whether or not we are invested in companies that support arms and arms sales, those kinds of things. So I don't know what's happening with that, but I did see that. I do have a question. I actually had a call from a constituent, and it hasn't been real clear to me, although Brian may have touched on it. Can guns that are not legal be turned in at this without repercussion?
No
question. All right, Peter, Carol, do you mind if Peter takes his turn and answers that question, and then we'll come to you?
Yeah, the answer is there's no one will be
prosecuted.
Will be, I don't know, arrested or charged with having an illegal weapon.
Okay, I thought that was the answer, but
yeah.
I wasn't sure, so
I could mean
it back to somebody.
It could also be a legally registered gun, but you're not registered to have it.
Okay.
So there's no, that's actually not legal either. So it,
right.
Or it could be an illegal gun. So neither one will be prosecuted.
Okay.
Thank you. Carol?
You all know I never vote to call the question. F&I members have to be back here at 9:45, several of us, several of you, after going to other jobs. So I'm going to call the question.
Oh, dear, Carol. Because of Peter's rule, you can't say...
I did not speak about the issue. It was just about calling the question.
I don't think you're not allowed to say anything. But the point is taken. Peter, do you have anything you have to say?
What?
I have Peter. No. Was there anything else you
didn't say? There was one important thing I wanted to say in response to, I forget who, I think it was Leslin that said this, that there's a misconception out there. Now, they're not paying $200 for any weapon that you bring in. $200 is the maximum, and I believe that's reserved for assault weapons. And the others will be on another scale. The idea is they don't want to give you money so you can go out and buy a better gun, okay?
And that's important information for
all right, and you know, we're not the first people to do this. I think the scale, the price scale was borrowed from other places that have done this. So we didn't invent this. I've got Dave and then Frank.
Yeah, I'd also like to address Leslin's question about the gun evaluation, which is going to be done by Ken Lansing and other qualified officers who can determine whether the gun is actually usable and what it's going to be worth in the relative scale.
Don't they destroy them?
Yeah.
They will ultimately destroy them, yeah.
But they won't give any money for a gun that's not usable. They will take it and destroy it. But if it's not usable, they won't give you any money for it.
Oh, no, I'm totally confused. All right, thank you.
Yeah, you can turn the gun in if it's unusable. Say it doesn't fire, it's all rusted up or whatever. You can still turn it in, and they'll take it. They won't give you anything for it, but they will take it.
Right.
And they will also take ammunition.
That's right. Because, you know, something can explode in somebody's hands, and, you know, it's still, you can't recycle. Frank.
May I call the question?
All right. Is there a second
to
that?
You certainly may.
Second by Will. All in favor of calling the question, please raise your hand. Opposed? That is 13 to 2. It's the question is called. So time to vote on resolution E. All in favor of this program, please raise your hand.
Aye.
That looks unanimous. Any opposed? That's unanimous. All right. Thanks, everybody. Go 8:30 to 4:30 on Saturday. Go down and have a look. Do we have a motion on the minutes of December 18th? Well, we got a couple. Hold on.
Martha?
It's just December 18th. That's the motion, Pam. Seconded by Pat. Yes, Kat, yes, Julie.
You left out. I have one chance to bring a motion, and you just skipped over it.
Okay, well, we're not, right, okay, we're not done, so I'll get to you. Any comments on the minutes of December 18th? All in favor, please raise your hand.
Aye.
Minutes of December 18th. Opposed? 13 to 2, that passes. Is there any new business or unfinished business or something? Julie?
I just want to share with people what I had in mind, and that is that there be a sense of the body.
Sorry, do we?
A sense of the body, the Tompkins County Legislature, that all Americans will be better served by having the U.S. Senate be able to once again pass legislation by a simple majority vote rather than a supermajority, and to do so by returning to use of filibuster in the traditional manner, for example, as exercised by the late Senator Byrd. Where the person invoking filibuster is publicly identified and has to actually speak to the body for as long as he or she chooses. So that was the gist of what I hoped people would agree with.
So is that
so
a motion?
I hope it's simple enough to meet Jonathan's test, in which case it's a motion.
Okay, so moved by Dooley. I'm sorry, so this is a letter or a motion that we would send to?
It's a sense of the legislature, it will be passed forward through you probably.
Okay. Okay, moved by Dooley, seconded by Pam. Kathy Luce, I saw your hand up.
I just wanted to signify that I agree with the sense that you're asking for, and I'm going to scoot. Yeah, I'm going to leave too.
All right. Is there discussion? All in favor of that motion, please raise your hand. You're in favor?
I was sensing, yes.
Yes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Oh, man. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Opposed. I hope it's 6. 1, 2, 3, 4. I got 9 to 4. Did you see? That's not
more than 9.
Did Brian not vote?
No,
Brian did not vote. All right, let's say 10 to 4. 10 to 4. All right, that passes 10 to 4, and I will follow up with that. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All right.
Don't leave that, please. Don't leave. Come here. Oh,